The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my
good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to talk about remote sex is still sex, and then we're going to talk about the essence of my message regarding overcoming lack of believers. So, an overview of the broadcast. This broadcast examines the harsh reality that remote sex is still sex and that bonds are formed and can divide and impoverish the house. We'll talk a bit about pornography and we'll then look at the essence of my message regarding lack of believers. We note that a house divided will fall versus a house in harmony will prosper. We then examine some key Bible verses and look at some phonio, being in harmony. We then look at how the loss of finances works in practice. We then touch on the mark of the beast. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 and a half years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13, and I served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. In particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu that lists articles in a logical sequence relative to a typical journey with YAH. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Weekly teaching Zoom calls every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. excuse me. USA time, 3:30 p.m. UK time, 5:30 p.m. South African time, 2:30 a.m. Sunday in Sydney, Australia, on Zoom. That's zoom.us. The account code is 703-237-1115. That's 703-237-1115. And the passcode is 123484. So we're going to talk about remote sex is still sex. Following on from the previous articles regarding factors that most are unaware of that can lead to major spiritual problems, it is also important to note that any form of remote sex is still sex, and that the associated one flesh bond, love bond, etc. are still formed. So sex on the phone, Skype, Zoom, Teams, WhatsApp, text message, even separated in the same room, is still sex in the sight of the court of heaven, resulting in a spiritual house which can be divided and results in a one flesh bond. So if you are in financial lack, this might be an area to examine. Note that this lack impacts all parties involved, whether directly or indirectly being in covenant with or one flesh bond with one of the parties. Basically, if one engages in any of the above forms of sexual interchange with another human being, then when either party climaxes, a very weak one flesh bond is formed. There is no distance in the spirit realm. The stronger the climax, the stronger the bond, and with simultaneous orgasm, an even stronger one flesh bond is formed. In the same way, if one declares love, a love bond is formed. If any promises or vows are made during this process, a legally enforceable covenant results, binding the parties together. The result is a spiritual house. Given that the parties are not together and that they may be in a casual relationship with no intention to remain in long-term relationship, it is very easy for the house to be divided. If this has happened clandestinely without other covenant parties, wife or husband, knowing about it, then the house will be divided. To the extent that a covenant has been entered into, then a divorce must be sought, and if the woman is a virgin, that may not be easily obtained or may not be obtained at all. Where a woman is definitely joined to other men, the man should pray, Father, I recognize that I've been masturbating and climaxing, talking to, name, and focusing on her. I recognize that this has initiated a one flesh bond. I believe she is joined to other men, and I confess that this is sin and destructive. And in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to release me and grant me a divorce and to cut the one flesh bonds at my end and at her end. Pray this for each woman. Where a woman is definitely joined to other men, the woman should pray, Father, I recognize I've been masturbating and climaxing, talking to name and focusing on him. I recognize that this has initiated a one flesh bond. I'm joined to other men and I confess that this is sin and destructive. And in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to release me and grant me a divorces, and to cut the one flesh bonds at my end and at his end. Pray this for each man. Folks, this is really key stuff. I've only really come to understand this quite recently. And it's so easy to think, well, you know, this is a nice person and I'm attracted to her or him, and do this sort of thing. It's got massive consequences, far greater consequences than I understood up till a month or so ago. So you really need to be careful. And if you've already fallen into this, you need to clean up. Where the woman was a virgin before the first instance, and the man and woman are married in the sight of Yah, and this is a completely different situation. See the article, The Essence of My Message Regarding the Virgin's Covenant, on the main menu of the website. And the article, The Essence of My Message, Reseparation of Man and Woman Divorce, also on the main menu. You may well find that you are locked in for life unless one party flagrantly breaks covenant with the other, giving rise to a basis for divorce. For further information, please see the articles on The Essence of My Message Regarding Sex and the Implications of Careless Sexual Activity and Resulting One-Flesh Bonds and Covenants. Unrighteous divorce, and also unrighteous divorce is treachery. Folks, these articles that I've just cited go into a lot more detail. The key point here is that all of these sexual activities, if ill-considered, not thought through, not properly prepared for, not engaged on with the intention of entering into a lifetime covenant agreement, are hugely damaging, hugely dangerous, and potentially very, very difficult to recover from, particularly if the woman concerned at the time of this first happening was either a true virgin, in other words, never had sex, or a virgin by divorce, truly divorced, or a widow. In that case, you're entering into a weak form of marriage covenant, but it is still a marriage covenant, and you're not going to get out of it easily. So if you've got that in place, you're going to have to really think carefully about what you do. To the extent that the woman is a harlot, that is, one who has had sex with other men and is not free to marry, a divorce is likely to be granted, but one must nevertheless pray the appropriate prayers. And remember, you've committed adultery, so you need to repent and ask for forgiveness. It is important to note that the one-flesh bond that results from what might be thought to be a very incidental incident is strong enough to cause significant financial difficulty, particularly if the parties concerned engage in this form of sex frequently. The bottom line, do not have remote sex with someone you not intend to be in relationship with for the rest of your life, and do not do it clandestinely behind the back of other covenant partners. Note that this applies to websites which offer live contact with women who perform sexually on video, as much as it applies in cases where man and woman are in some level of relationship. It also applies in the case of women with women and men with men. So if the woman has had sex with other men, then you committed adultery. You need to repent, ask for forgiveness. Father, I confess that I've committed adultery with this woman, this man. I repent, I confess it as sin, and I ask you to forgive me. Then you pray the prayer that I've just given you for divorce. It's really, really important that you do this. If you've been in the habit of doing this sort of thing on a regular basis, you need to clean up instance by instance. It's not a trivial thing. Then pornography. As an extension of this point, a one-flesh bond is also formed by masturbating, looking at photographs and videos, particularly if one stares intensely at a single image or video and climaxes. This one-flesh bond is much weaker than that formed in connection with a living human being remotely, as discussed above, and very much weaker than the bond resulting from physical sexual intercourse or physical contact, but it is still sufficient to cause problems, particularly if the same photograph or video is used repeatedly. Again, insofar the woman in such photographs or videos are harlots, divorce is likely to be granted, but one has to pray the necessary prayer. For a man with woman, pray, Father, I recognize that I've been masturbating and climaxing, looking at photographs and videos and focusing on those women. I recognize that this has initiated a one flesh bond or bonds. I confess that this is sin and destructive, and in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to release me and to cut the one flesh bonds at my end and at the end of the woman I've been looking at. For a woman with men, pray, Father, I recognize that I've been masturbating and climaxing, looking at photographs and videos and focusing on those men. I recognize that this has initiated a one flesh bond or bonds, and I recognize that I'm not free to have sex with these men. And I confess that this is sin and destructive. And in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to release me and to cut the one flesh bonds at my end and at the end of the men I've been looking at. For women with women and men with men, pray the appropriate version above. Folks, I want to stress there's another dimension to this. If the party that's got caught up in this stuff is in a relationship with another man or woman who's not satisfying them sexually, you've got a real dilemma, because in a sense, pornography is preferable to going out and physically committing adultery, but it's still going to cause problems. So you need to figure out if you're in a situation where one of you is more highly sexed than the other and is not being satisfied, you need to figure out a way for them to be satisfied without falling into all of these traps. And that's not a trivial exercise. So in conclusion, I'm increasingly seeing the extent to which even seemingly innocuous casual sexual activity, as outlined here, can cause major financial problems, not to mention major relationship problems. If one is truly seeking to serve Yah, one needs to eschew all of these things, unless in the case of remote sex, the intention from the start is to enter into a lifetime covenant relationship, in which case the terms of the covenant should be agreed first, particularly if the logistics of being together physically are difficult to impossible. You need to think very carefully about engaging in sexual intercourse or even remote sex with somebody who's not you're not able to physically live with. It's an order of magnitude more difficult and more challenging, and you really need to think that through. If you're not sure, by all means, give me a call, drop me a line, contact me on by email, james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Drop me an email and we can get together on Zoom or Skype or phone, and I'll talk you through what the situation is. Preferably before you get into the situation. If you're already in the situation, please let me know. I continually come across believers who are in financial difficulty, particularly believing men, and these things are potentially major, major issues. So going on to the next article that I want to share with you is the essence of my message, re-overcoming lack of believers, and this article that I've just shared with you is a lead into this. I continue to be contacted by committed believers in financial lack and to battle with lack myself. So I continue to seek to understand exactly what is required to overcome lack. And that is the aim of this article. In September last year, that's 2021, I published the article 2021-09-02, The Essence of My Message Regarding the Poverty of Believers. This summarizes 16 different points that require attention. Most of these are relatively straightforward and should be resolved quickly. This article should be read in conjunction with the following articles. And I'm not going to read those out to you. There's a list of 17 articles on the website. See the version of this article on the website. Use the article search in the right-hand sidebar to look for 2022:02:01, and you'll get this article that I'm sharing with you now. And you don't have to read every one of those articles before you read the rest of this article, but they're irrelevant context. The thing that I'm seeking to communicate to you now is that fundamentally Father Yah wants those who are serving him to prosper. And fundamentally, the satanic demonic realm wants those who are serving Yah to be in poverty and lack and struggling to survive. So there's a huge battle going on here. There are some serious complexities associated with this. And if you're not very careful as a committed believer, you will be struggling to survive. Fundamentally, all of this, and that refers to all the articles that I've cited in the page on the website, is about drawing close to Father Yah and living a life that is pleasing to him, and therefore a life that is blessed and prosperous. Note that much of what is required to prosper is not about sin. It is about lifestyle and conduct. It is possible to be close to Father Yah and not prosper because of mistakes one has made. My own life is a good example of this. Fundamentally, it is very difficult for a man and woman in covenant marriage to live in harmony, particularly when there's more than one woman, and even more so when they're living apart from one another, in my case, on different continents. The first article on poverty cited above deals with all the issues, but does not fully deal with the matter of a divided house, primarily because I'm still learning about this. The headlines of the article 2021-0902, the essence of my message regarding the poverty of believers, are as follows. Number one, Father wants believers to prosper. Number two, Satan and the demonic realm wants believers in poverty. Number three, poverty is a consequence of curses, sin, or error. So I have to say to you that if you are a committed believer and you are living in financial lack, if you're struggling to survive financially, either there's a curse or curses or sin or sins or errors. There's something that you're doing or that you're not doing that is bringing about your lack. Father is not short to give. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. Number four, we will prosper through the sweat of our brows. Some people, and particularly in charismatic churches, seem to think that faith teaching on finances is that they just sit back and Father will bless them. Not so. Where that's happening or appears to be happening, it's generally because the demonic realm have got them trapped in a whole lot of error. Five, begging from those who are ministering is an offense in the sight of Yah. I work hard to support my ministry, and it's really frustrating when people write to me and say, I've really been blessed by your website. Please will you send me Bibles and books and whatever. They don't even ask for my material. They just want money, basically. And that's out of line, folks. If you're one of the people who's doing that, you should not be contacting people who are ministering on the internet and asking them to help you financially. You need to sort out why you're battling financially and fix it. Point number six, single believing men will battle to survive. Father did not intend us to live, men in particular, to live alone. He meant us to be married, meant us to be in covenant with at least one woman. If you're on your own as a man, you will battle to survive. Number seven, single believing women can ask Father to be their husband. This is important. There are far more believing women than men in the body of true believers. So if you can't find a suitable man, go to Father and say, Father, I ask you to be my husband. I ask you to cover me. I ask you to protect me. I ask you to provide for me. You'll still need to work, but Father will help you. Then tithing to a ministry that is in error is futile. You create a yoke which will set you back financially. So if you're yoked to a ministry that's in error, you need to break that yoke. Stop giving to them. Then if you're going to tithe, which you should, then you should tithe to those who truly teach truth, who are truly helping you to grow closer to Father. Then a divided house will fall, and we'll talk about that more in a minute, and a united house will prosper, more about that in a moment too. Cut off all extraneous sexual bonds. I spoke about that earlier on this broadcast and previous broadcasts as well. Cut off all curses. I talked about cleansing a few weeks ago. The prayers are there. Particular note regarding curses on African people, the curse of Canaan needs to be cut off. Processes for cleaning up I've shared with you, and then walk in emunah or faith. So I want to stress that a house divided will fall. versus a house in harmony will prosper. This article seeks to explore the subject of lack in the context of a spiritual house of one man with one or more women. If you are in such a relationship and have dealt with all the other issues headlined above, and you are still in lack, then this article is for you. In saying this, I stress that you need to read the article about careless sexual activity and the article about remote sex is still sex, and do all the necessary cleaning up that is indicated in these articles. If either man or woman in a covenant relationship has a one-flesh bond with someone outside the family, then the house is ipso facto divided and it will be in lack. As noted in these articles, cleaning up is not trivial. In some cases, it may be necessary to bring an additional woman into the family unit. It is possible for there to be great harmony in the house, but it only takes one-flesh bond outside the family unit to nullify the benefits of that harmony. Folks, this is so serious. If you messed around as a teenager and just had sex once, and then you forgot about it, it's quite possibly coming back to haunt you now. If you're a believer, a committed believer, and you're in lack, and you messed around sexually when you're in your teens, it could be the reason you're in lack. And there's a whole piece about what you do about that. Then I want to share some key Bible verses that relate to this topic. Philippians 4:19. This is now from the Protestant Bible. But my mighty one, or God, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by the anointing that was upon Yeshua, Christ Jesus. This is fundamental. Yah, the Creator, wants you to prosper. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Father can bless us exceedingly abundantly. Genesis 26:12, relating to a famine. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, incorrectly the Lord, blessed him. Read this in the context of Genesis 26:1. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. It is vital to understand that Yah is able to prosper you even if your land is in famine or poverty. He is willing and able to prosper you even though all around you are in lack and poverty, provided you really draw close to him and deal with all sin and error in your life. Folks, this is not a trivial message. There's so much casual thinking about relationship with Father. But if you really, really want to get close to Father, you need to clean up your act. Then Matthew 18:19, Yahushua speaking, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The word agree here is the Greek symphoniosin. If you look in the Interlinear Bible, it's Strong's word, the Greek word, Strong's number 4856. It's translated agree, and Strong's exhaustive concordance for 4856 symphonio says from symphonos to be harmonious, i.e. figuratively to accord, be suitable, concur, or stipulate by contact, agree together with. This is the same root as the English word symphony. The word symphony is derived from the Greek word symphonia, meaning agreement or concord of sound. Concert of vocal or instrumental music. From symphonos, harmonious. That's from Wikipedia. Folks, the graphic from the Interlinear Bible is in the article on the website. Excuse me. And this is really, really important. It's not just agree, it's agree symphonically. Same song from the same with the same music sung in perfect harmony. So this is not a trivial thing, but you need to work at it. So if two or more people pray in symphonic accord that is precisely aligned in what they ask for, then it will be done. In my experience, this applies more to finances than in other areas. In other words, singing the same song to the same tune in perfect symphonic harmony. In the vast majority of cases, one can pray on one's own and one's prayer will be granted, assuming you're really seeking to draw close to Father Yah. This situation is different. In the case of finances, there's another dimension. If a family of committed believers are in lack, it seriously limits their ability to do things on Yah's behalf. In terms of aspects of ministry that require finances, this is the principal reason why so many really committed believers are in lack. The satanic and demonic realm are determined to hold them in bondage. Folks, I find that very few people understand this. I'm in contact regularly with people who are battling financially. And I raise this point with them. I raise the points about sexual bonds with them. And I don't know how hard they endeavor to apply this. I don't know whether they really don't understand what I'm saying. And that's one of the reasons why I've written this article, is to go into it in more depth. But the fact of the matter is, if a man and woman are in covenant, even if there are no extraneous sexual ties, etc., and they're not prospering, then there is something about harmony, symphonia, that's out of kilter. And you need to work on that. You need to ask questions. You need to think about it. You need to pray about it. But if there are extraneous sexual ties, then that's where you need to clean up first. To better understand this, consider 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So clearly our prayers can be hindered. In my experience, this is most commonly in the area of finances. So if a man is not treating his woman or women well and considerately, their or his prayers will be hindered. Simple as that. Or if they're not in harmony, their prayers will also be hindered. Taking this further, in Matthew 12:23, Yahushua states, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." So we see that a house divided against itself will be brought to desolation and will not stand. This is reinforced by Mark 3:25, and if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Folks, this is really important, these three verses. Your prayers can be hindered if you're not in harmony. Your prayers can be hindered if the husband is not treating the wife or wives well, and vice versa. If there's strife and division and fighting and resentment and bitterness and what have you in the house, in the family unit, the house is divided, it will fall, you will be in spiritual lack. So if you're in financial lack and you're not in harmony, if you're not in agreement, if you're not working together and praying together and collaborating and no secrets and just really working at it, don't be surprised if you're in lack. Let's look at how this actually tangibly works in practice. So if your family is in lack and you've dealt with all the other issues, then it's so that your prayers are being hindered and your house is divided, and this is why you are in lack. These are incontrovertible spiritual principles. You may believe you're in perfect harmony, but if there's anything where you are not in harmony, then you will be in lack. That said, review the article on lack cited above and ensure that you have addressed all the other points. Also, double-check extraneous one-flesh bonds through one-night stands, sexual fooling around with orgasm, masturbation, focusing on someone, or on a photograph or a video, etc. Even one of these can divide the house. Let us look at how this comes about. When a person first comes to belief, they are allocated a satanic messenger, commonly called an angel, to shadow them and monitor everything going on in the life of that believer. This messenger keeps records that are kept in heaven. So just see the picture. You're born, you're conceived. Immediately a guardian messenger, a guardian angel is allocated to you. That messenger will follow you for the whole of your life, recording everything in your life for the court of heaven. The day you come to belief, a satanic messenger, a satanic angel is allocated to you as well. And their job is different. Their job is to look for your sin and anything that they can use for the forces of darkness to get judgments against you. See the article on the essence of judgment in this life on the website. And basically what they're looking for is a way to take you out in whatever way you give them the legal right to do that. Then in addition, where two believers join together sexually or in another form of covenant, a further satanic messenger is allocated to coordinate between the two, monitoring the two parties. The same messenger will coordinate with the individual watchers if there are more than two people. The reason for this coordinating messenger or watcher is to keep track of whether the various parties are in harmony. If they are not in harmony, the coordinating watcher reports up the hierarchy of satanic messengers to those that control matters relating to believers, and a decision is taken as to whether to do something or to leave things to unfold until a stronger case can be built. See the article 2021.07.01, The Essence of My Message Concerning Judgment in This Life, for a detailed discussion of exactly what happens. Briefly, a satanic messenger is assigned as prosecutor or accuser in the court of heaven. They appear before the throne of judgment, the Almighty Creator, Yah the Eternal Self-Existing. They read out the charges, citing the specific incidents in terms of which the believer's house is divided. Now, very few people understand what I'm sharing with you now. And a lot of people would disagree with me, but really this is how it works. So there is nothing that you can do as a believer that is not being tracked and monitored and recorded by the satanic and demonic realm. Yes, your guardian is also recording, but with a very different focus. They're looking at how you should be rewarded at the end of your life and what you did with your life. The satanic are looking for sin, they're looking for error, they're looking for strife, they're looking for division. The next point, so that we're in the throne room, we're before the throne of judgment. The satanic forces seek a judgment to hinder the finances of that house. If the believers are relatively young believers and inexperienced and ignorant, you're sure Jesus' advocate pleading on behalf of the believers may ask for mitigation of sentence or for forgiveness. This may or may not be granted by Yah. If they are mature and are being careless relative to revelation they already have, the sentence may be much more stringent. If a judgment is awarded against the believers, the satanic messenger will then report back to his hierarchy, and orders will then be given to the watchers to hinder the finances of that house. So here we have a whole chain of command. This will generally involve the deployment of hindering demons or hindering spirits and other demons to attach to people who do business with members of that house, to cause them to ignore or forget quotes or find reasons not to accept quotes, or to distract them, or to do whatever they can do to prevent people doing business with that house. This can translate to loss of jobs, loss of contracts, problems with work, problems with contracts. It can look like someone being intensely interested in the service being offered and then being distracted and losing interest. Basically, anything that will cause lack in the house. In extreme cases, with really committed believers, this can impact thousands of people around the world. For example, every single person on an email marketing list. the people running an employer company, etc. Anything that will cause the believers to suffer loss. In a case in which I was impacted, there were ultimately millions of demons tasked with hindering my finances and those in covenant with me. Folks, this is really where the rubber hits the road. So you've got a divided house. The satanic demonic realm gets a judgment against you, and they then set about bringing you into lack. Hindering spirits are spirits that just generally interfere with your finances, not just on you, but on the people that you're dealing with, the people you're doing business with. You can have mind-blinding spirits. So somebody sees your presentation, really likes it, says, I'll be back, I'll be in touch with you in a couple of days, and then things happen to interfere with that, and they never come back to you. Or they do come back to you and they say, well, I'm not ready now, I'll get back to you in a few months. And you go back to them after a few months and they've forgotten who you are, and they can't remember why they were interested, and they've lost interest. So if you are working flat out to do everything you can to make your business prosper and it's not prospering, and what you're doing is seriously the right things to be doing from a commercial business practical point of view, then you are almost certainly dealing with a judgment to hinder your finances. And you will keep slogging away, doing everything you can think to do, everything you can see to do, everything you can find to do, everything that anybody tells you to do. And it just won't work. And if you get into alliances with other people who believe in your vision and get enthusiastic and give you time and don't get paid for it, eventually they will realize that there's something wrong with you, and they will just lose hope, and they will go off and do other things, and they will find that as soon as they cut ties with you, they start to prosper. So it is such an important thing that you understand this and that you recognize it when it's happening in your life. Then, to close off today, I want to talk about the mark of the beast. Added to the above is the impact of the mark of the beast. Refer to the article 2011-04-12, the mark of the beast, under the commandments page on the main menu, the mark of the beast. Essentially, this entails a mark given by the satanic and demonic realm, whereby all who are serving Satan receive the mark. Believers who are in right standing with Father Yah and doing their best to live righteously have the mark removed, and therefore they struggle to sell, because if you cannot sell, you eventually cannot buy, because you have no money or other negotiable instruments. The only way to overcome this is for all the believers in that house to be in harmony, symphonio, as described above. If the house is in sin, then they're serving Satan, and for the most part the satanic and demonic realm will leave them alone, and they will generally get by, and they will have the mark. They must deal with their sin first and also come into harmony. In order to prosper, they must be in harmony. So folks, in wrapping this broadcast up, if you are a committed believer and you are in financial lack, and it doesn't matter what you do, how hard you work, all the good things that you do, all the research and study that you do, all the networking that you do, all the meetings that you go to, all the proposals that you submit, all the quotes that you submit, and nothing is happening, then this is where you need to look. In the next broadcast, I will talk in more detail about how do you overcome these things. I don't have all the answers. I thought I did a few years ago, and I clearly don't, because I'm battling myself. And I'm seeking Father. I've just been on a 7-day fast, seeking guidance to overcome this stuff. So please join me next week. So in closing, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, if you do all the things that I've been talking about to sort out your finances, you will get very close to Father, and you may well get to a place where he calls you friend. Not a given, but if you do all the things in all the articles cited a few minutes ago, you'll get a long way. Look at the website. There's a lot there. I want to stress that this is available to every single human being on the planet today, barring a few former believers who've been rejected because of blasphemy and things like that. But to all intents and purposes, this is available to just about every human being on the planet. Father wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter your race, your tribe, your nation, the color of your skin, your height or lack of height, your level of education, your level of finances, your level of intellect. He wants you, yes, you, not the person to the left or the right, the person who's right in front of me right now. He wants you to become his friend. You'll find a lot on the website on how to do that. This series of programs is about that, and I encourage you to contact me in order to start that journey. So some key documents and a video on the main menu of the website, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, Relationship with Creator Radio, one word. Click on the show in the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Weekly teaching Zoom calls every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, USA, 3:30 p.m. UK time, 5:30 p.m. South African time, 2:30 a.m. Sunday in Sydney, Australia, on Zoom link 703-237-1115. That's zoom.us 703-237-1115, passcode 123484. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly useful. It's in the right-hand sidebar, some distance down the right-hand sidebar. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's J-A-M-E-S at endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Or email me, and email me also to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. So just to wrap up again, just really encourage you, if you are not really actively seeking a close relationship with the Almighty Creator, I urge you to start today. Doesn't matter where you are, what religion you belong to, just decide today, Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I believe you exist. I want to get close to you. I want to become your friend. I ask you to help me. Bring the people you want into my life. Take the people you don't want in my life out. Show me what to read. Show me who to speak to. Show me what to do. There's a vast amount of information on the website, about 2,300 articles, help you with all sorts of answers to questions. So I really urge you to go for it. Email me for information, and I'll certainly help you. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Goodbye.